Lincoln. Now, another exciting hour of the Tom Abraham Show. Call 866-485-9867 to get your bark on.
Really rather not have any more questions about, is it okay to lose this game? It's never okay to lose a game.
You go find them, you throw your arms around them, you give them a big kiss on the mouth if you're a girl.
I am the champ that runs the camp. Showtime! Woo!
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios, here's Tom Abraham.
And I am a certified G and a bona fide stud, and you can't teach that.
I guess I'm on here. Am I on? Can somebody respond?
Getting hour number three started, 4 o'clock straight up here on a football Friday in the doghouse. Glad that you are with us. Do have your NASCAR fantasy-style trifecta for you. We'll reset that in a little bit, but you want to go ahead and keep sending in your three-car team. You can do that via the text window at 732-982-7469. Don't forget, too, you can follow us at Tom Abraham Show on the Twitter, Facebook, / Tom Abraham Show works as well. To say that Gary Myers is the Daily News NFL columnist is almost insulting, to be honest with you. He also works on This Week in Football on the YES Network, the football show there. He does an NFL spot on Sirius Satellite Radio for some 21 or 22 years. He was on HBO's Inside the NFL. He's an author, wrote a very intriguing book, Brady v. Manning. He's done it all. I mean, the guy has done a lot, and he's still going, and he joins us now, Gary Myers, on the Woody Anderson Ford VIP hotline. Gary, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, Tom. How are you doing today?
I am tremendous. And, of course, I want to talk about the book for a minute, because you brought this thing, Brady v. Manning, out a couple of years ago, and I'm wondering whether or not there needs to be another chapter here now, or is the story still complete, even though Tom Brady has gone on to do what he's done, and Peyton Manning, of course, now in retirement?
The book came out in September of 2015, and the paperback came out in September of 2016. So in the paperback, I updated it. With all the events of the 2015 season, you know, the Deflategate stuff and Peyton getting hurt and Peyton winning the Super Bowl and retiring and Brady having the suspension overturned and then reinstated. So the paperback is pretty much complete up until the start of this past season. And whether or not my publisher wants me to continue to add on every time that Brady wins a Super Bowl, I'm not sure, because the way he's going, it could be an annual occurrence.
Yeah, you might have to wait.
I have to see if they want to go through the expense of continuing to update the book. But the Brady-Manning rivalry is over because Peyton has retired. The only thing that now changes is how much further Tom distances himself from Peyton in the argument of who's the better quarterback.
Is there a relationship now? I mean, with Manning retired and his portion of the book, if you will, his book is closed, but Brady continues. Do you know if there is much of a relationship between the two of them? Would Manning have been one of the first people to send him a congratulatory note when he won that fifth, or do you think Manning kind of distanced himself from Tom Brady?
Well, based on their relationship, as it's been, you know, for the last 15 or so years, I would think at some point, Peyton will make contact with Tom, or they'll see each other at a golf tournament, or they'll make plans to have dinner, and Peyton will not hesitate to congratulate Tom. Whether he did it or not, you know, in the hours after the game a couple weeks ago, I'm not sure of the answer to that. And I know that Archie Manning and Tom Brady Sr. have become friendly basically through their texting, and they have always congratulated or commiserated with the other after a Super Bowl that their sons had played in. So I wouldn't be surprised if they were in touch. But that's an enduring friendship that they have that developed over, you know, a long period of time.
You know, most people look at this and just say, well, you know, Tom Brady, there's no question. And I'm a Brady guy as well. In fact, I was always a Joe Montana guy, and I've elevated Tom Brady to the all time. I don't hold it against him that he lost two Super Bowls. My gosh, he got to those two Super Bowls as well. But I will say this, the fact that Manning won Super Bowls with two different teams, and I think the only one to do that and went to Super Bowls with four different coaches, I think is very significant. Is the gap, does that close the gap a little bit in your mind as to where they are, regardless of whatever happens with Brady, wherever he ends up landing on that total number of Super Bowls, the fact that, you know, Brady, one regime, basically the Brady-Belichick thing, Manning, four different coaches, four different Super Bowls, winning at two different places?
Well, I mean, that certainly is impressive that he was able to do it with two teams and four coaches, like you mentioned, Tom, but I don't know that we can hold it against Brady that he's been with the same team his entire career and played for the same coach his entire career. Both, you know, in impressive achievements. I just think that I'm with you. I had Montana at the top for a very long period of time. I had Tom jump over him 2 years ago when he beat Seattle, and he tied Joe with four championships. But to me, the tiebreaker in my list, which obviously is very subjective, was the fact that, you know, Tom had been to six at that point and Joe had been to four. Now Tom has been to seven. He's won five. Every one of these games has been incredibly close. You know, in the five Super Bowls that Brady has won and the seven that he's been in, the largest margin in any of the games, win or lose, was 2 weeks ago against Atlanta.
Right.
And they won by six.
Yeah.
Every other game had been closer than 6 points, and that was an overtime game. So, you know, he could be 7-0 in these games. He could be 0-7, and he could be anywhere in between, you know, 3-4. Almost in every game was one or two plays that really determined the outcome. And boy, you know, if a couple of those games had gone the other way, the conversation would be different.
Yeah, it would be different. I mean, he would have, you know, I mean, like you say, it could be 7-0. But if he had lost a couple of more of those, then we'd be talking about, you know, a colossal choker or things like that. And the fact that the Patriots, in fact, that was the storyline in a way. When they're down 25 points, it would be, you know, the Patriots again are going to stumble into Super Bowl. Then they author this wonderful comeback and what is, and I'm a little younger than you, but I've seen them all. I was a kid, you know, when they played Super Bowl I, and uh-huh. And to me, that was the greatest Super Bowl ever. There were a lot of twists and turns early. I understand that there were mistakes and so on, but I just think the drama of the way it unfolded in the fourth quarter and then into overtime, you know, makes that the greatest one, certainly the greatest one I ever saw, and I think the greatest Super Bowl ever. Gary Myers with us here. Where is, if Brady has skipped over Montana, all right, so let's put Montana too. In your mind, how close is Manning to those two guys?
I have Manning three now, and I did that after he retired last year with the second championship, even though, you know, anybody who was paying attention last year realized it wasn't the same Peyton Manning that had won his first Super Bowl, that he was more along for the ride. He was physically compromised. His defense won in the Super Bowl last year. But to me, you know, in 5 years or so, Tom, are we going to remember that Peyton wasn't the same player in the playoffs and he had an injury-plagued season in 2015? Or are we going to remember that he retired in his last game he won a championship? And I think that's what we're going to remember. And the second title, I believe, combined with all his incredible achievements in the regular season – to me, it jumped him over Johnny Unitas, and I have Unitas four. I just flip flop those two, and I had Elway five. So I think that's a pretty solid group of one through five. And you know, anybody who wants to rearrange that group a little bit, anyway, you know, their personal preference, you know, it's certainly their prerogative. But you're talking about five great players there, and Again, I'm big on championships for coaches and quarterbacks and how we eventually judge and rate them. And the second championship for Peyton, I think, meant a lot to his legacy.
That's why the championships and coaches, that's why I think one of the most overlooked guys is Terry Bradshaw. And I be honest with you, I would have Terry Bradshaw ahead of Elway. Because Terry Bradshaw, you know, in his prime was winning the championships and was the MVP, whereas, you know, Elway in his prime was losing Super Bowls, and really it was on the defense in the run game. They had gotten so much better in their run game and so much more balance at the end of his career, you know, when they won championships. Not saying he wasn't a big part of those two Super Bowl titles, but it was a different team then than it was when they were losing the ones that they lost before that. I like Bradshaw that, because and the other part of it is we don't know. And people say, well, Bradshaw, look at his numbers. Yeah, but we don't know how he would have performed if he was in a system that is a modern type system. We don't know that Terry Bradshaw wouldn't have been throwing for 40, you know, for 4,000 or 5,000 yards a season and things like that. I mean, he had a beautiful arm. I really like Bradshaw. I like Aikman too, by the way.
Yeah. Well, as far as Bradshaw, if you look at the team that he played on, it was just filled with Hall of Famers.
Right.
And it was a different era. You're right. I don't happen to agree with you. I don't think Bradshaw was as good a quarterback as John Elway, but, you know, he certainly is a top 10 player. And being 4-0 in the Super Bowl, it's tough to beat that. But he was surrounded by a lot of great players in a pre-free agency era, and pretty much had the core and the foundation of those teams together for a long period of time. When Elway lost those three Super Bowls early on in his career, he was a one-man team. He had no running game and he had no defense, and he had a bunch of good receivers. But other than that, it was pretty much all on him. At the end of his career, when he won two, he had Terrell Davis, who now is getting into the Hall of Fame. Again, you know, name me right now, nearly 20 years later, five other players that are on those Bronco teams, and it's probably going to be hard for you to do because it was not a team stocked with great talent. It was
right.
It was Elway and a pretty good defense and a tremendous running back. So I think what Elway was able to do over the course of his career, considering he never played on a dominant team, but still was able to get to five Super Bowls, and I think he's a great player. But again, that's not taking anything away from Bradshaw. And like I said at the beginning, Tom, it's very subjective. And anybody can – all these players we're talking about are Hall of Fame players, you know, among the best who have ever played. And I like Troy Aikman a lot too. He was never called on to throw the ball 40 times a game.
Right.
And with the receivers that he had with Irvin and Alvin Harper and then Jay Novacek is his tight end, if Jimmy Johnson let him loose, who knows what kind of numbers he would have put up. But they had Emmitt Smith and Jimmy believed in running the ball a lot. And Troy will just have to settle for having three Super Bowl rings, which is pretty darn good.
Yeah, Gary Myers, I guess, he wrote Brady v. Manning, the untold story of the rivalry that transformed the NFL. And, you know, it's the same thing with Brady. I mean, the history will tell at the end of the day. I mean, yes, Randy Moss was there for 2 years or whatever, you know, for a minute and had an unbelievable year. It just showed what Brady would do when he had guys like that. But you tell me how many running backs and skill position guys. I mean, maybe Gronkowski's on his way if he could stay healthy for a few more years. But tell me, where are the wide receivers and running backs that are going into the Hall of Fame that played with Tom Brady? It's been Brady. It's been a really good offensive line. You know, a defensive head coach, but not always a great defense. And, you know, it's just like rotate guys through there, pick guys up off the scrap heap, put them in the backfield, run them out there at wide receiver. And the guy throws for, you know, 40 touchdowns and 4,500 yards year in and year out. I think that'll be part of the story with him as well, even though it is with one coach and maybe the greatest coach of all time.
Well, yeah, certainly, when you look over the last 16 years, the skill position players that have surrounded Brady have not, like you mentioned, Randy Moss had a great year in 2007. Brady missed all but the first quarter of the next year after he suffered his knee injury. They played together in 09, and Moss was traded early in the 2010 season. So he had him, and when Gronk is healthy, which seems to be every other year, he's obviously a tremendous player. But Belichick has, the approach he's really taken, Tom, is that he's got Brady. Brady makes everybody around him better. And he turns the roster over every 3 or 4 years, and it's a new cast of characters that's winning a Super Bowl with Brady. It's really been an amazing story when you think about how this is not an overly talented team, other than at the quarterback position, and it doesn't have dominant defensive players, but it has a dominant coaching staff that puts their players in the best position and always seems to come up with schemes to take away the other team's best players. So it's been a very interesting approach and a very successful approach in an era, you know, where you just can't buy championships.
If Tom Brady goes, I mean, he's not retiring next year. They're talking about an extension now, you know. So they're mm-hmm. talking about trading Jimmy Garoppolo because they know he's not going to play, you know, when he becomes a free agent. So let's say it's 3 years, you know, which it may be more, but let's say 3 years that he continues to play. Bill Belichick is 67 when Brady retires. Do you get the sense that Belichick will try and continue past Brady just to have that deal where he does something without Tom Brady? Or could you see the two of these guys exiting at the same time?
I don't know the answer to that question, but my guess is that for them to leave at the same time would be let's see how I want to put this. I mean, I think it would almost be appropriate considering all they've accomplished mm-hmm. together. But I also think that Belichick's ego is big enough that he wants one more shot at proving he can win without Brady, because his resume prior to Brady in Cleveland and then early on in New England, his record was 37-45 in Cleveland and then 5-13 in New England before Brady took over for Bledsoe.
Right.
So I think he'd like to try to, assuming it's not 8 years from now, I think he'd like to try to see if he can win a championship without Brady. But I don't know that Brady can potentially outlast Belichick, because he thinks he's in the best shape of his career, and he doesn't get hurt, and he could easily go another 5-6 years as long as he doesn't suffer a serious injury, because physically he's in tremendous shape.
Yeah, there's no question about it. All right. By the way, I think that Belichick gets roughed up a little bit too much about the Cleveland years because, first of all, as a very young coach, in year three, he had them in a play. In fact, he won a playoff game, beating Bill Parcells
right,
in year three, and they were a favorite in year four, or maybe it was four or five, but they were a favorite the year the announcement came out that they were leaving Cleveland, and I think they were, you know, 500 or a little bit ahead of 500 at that time. I'm not so sure. You know, people will always write the book that was a, you know, a failure for him in Cleveland. What he did by putting that team into playoffs as quickly as he did and having the guts to change from Bernie Kosar to Vinny Testaverde, you know, I think we already were seeing some signs of the greatness there. You know, it wasn't his fault that, you know, they moved the team out of the city and they lost every game the rest
of
the way.
Well, they were 4-4 the year after making the playoffs. So it wasn't
right.
Like they were 6-2 and Modell sabotaged the season. They were struggling along at 4-4. Obviously, you don't know what was going to happen the rest of the season. They could have gone on an 8-0 run and won a Super Bowl, but once they announced they were moving to Baltimore,
they tanked. Yeah.
He had no chance. But I don't agree with you. I think he had plenty of opportunity in Cleveland, and he messed it up, and he's fortunate that he got another chance. It took him 5 years to get another opportunity, which shows you how hesitant people were to take a chance on him
mm-hmm.
after he – his Cleveland experience. But, you know, give him credit. He's been doing it 17 years, and he's established himself, if not the best coach in NFL history, because people still have Lombardi there. But if he's not one, then he's two. And considering how it got started in Cleveland and even in New England, for him to reach this point is pretty amazing.
Yeah. By the way, I got Lombardi 1-2. I still kind of sit on Lombardi. At 9-1 at 5 championships, he was – what, 57 when he died, something like 54 maybe
mm-hmm.
when he died, and we don't know what he would have done. You know, he might have won three more.
When he passed away, he was already out of Green Bay. You know, he was trying to
right.
get it going in Washington. You know, and so the glory years in Green Bay were over, and whether he could have done the same thing in Washington, who knows?
Well, they were 7-5-2. I think Washington, the year he got there, the year before he got there, they were horrific. one or two win team or something like that. In his first year in Washington, they're 7-5-2 and he dies, you know. So who knows? I mean, they may have been, very, very good. And by the way, your comment about Manning in that last year, will anybody remember how banged up he was and how dead his arm was? I actually think that is one of the, that's the cherry on his career, how great he was. Cause I think of all the quarterbacks that I've seen in my 55, 56 years, Manning was the best at the line of scrimmage ever for just making, you know, putting his team in the right play. The fact that he was able to win with the skill set he had in that final year is maybe the most amazing thing he ever did.
Well, he came back after missing seven games. He came back around early in the third quarter of the last game of the regular season and helped him get the number one seed by beating San Diego and then beating Pittsburgh and New England in home games where he, there were stretches in those games that he played well, but overall, Denver was playing just to try to prevent him from losing the game for them. And same thing in the Super Bowl. The only way they would have lost if he turned the ball over more than he did. But again, he was nearly 40 years old. He had four neck surgeries that I think finally had caught up to him in terms of his arm strength. He had that bad foot injury, which also impacted his arm strength because he couldn't, you know, plant his foot. I agree. I think winning that championship and going out the way he did is what people are going to remember him winning and going out Elway style rather than him basically crawling out because of his physical limitations.
Right. He was broke down almost the way Unitas was broke down at the end. The book is Brady v. Manning, The Untold Story of the Rivalry That Transformed the NFL. It's available in paperback now with an updated chapter. And who knows, maybe after Brady finally retires, there'll be one more update to that book. I wouldn't do any more updates, even if the publisher called you. So I'm not writing any more until Brady is done, okay? Because you'll have to keep doing it every year. Gary, I appreciate you so much.
The book is available, you know, at Amazon and the paperback is the updated. The hardcover is the original. It's also on Kindle. And, anybody's interested in reading it, I appreciate it.
Yeah, snag it right there. It's a good, good read. All right. Appreciate you, Gary.
All right, Tom. Thanks for having me on. Take care.
All right. Thank you. Gary Myers. It's good stuff. All right. Let's grab a break. When we return, shift our gears a little bit towards the Tennessee Titans of today. What are they doing in the offseason? What's going on there? Are they going to make a move on Alshon Jeffrey? Are they going to make a move to draft a receiver? Are they going defense in the draft? We'll talk about that all with Teresa Walker next right here on the Tom Abraham Show. Football Friday in the dial. A lot of football in the show. Right here at 730-1039. The Ump.
Sports Radio. The Ump. Because we care. From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports, and it's brought to you by Everwood Treatment, the official treated lumber of Alabama athletics. Everwood, wood treated right. Hello, everybody. I'm Chris Stewart. Last night at Coleman Coliseum in Tuscaloosa, Coach Christy Curry's Alabama Crimson Tide posted a 65-57 win over the Tennessee Lady Vols. It gives Alabama its fourth win in Southeastern Conference play this year and improves the Tide's record overall to 16-9 on the season. Coco Knight led the way for Alabama. She had 18 points and 8 rebounds. The Crimson Tide would get 16 points and 9 boards from Hannah Cook, and Ashley Williams led the Tide on the glass with 11 rebounds. Coach Avery Johnson's Alabama men's basketball team will play host to LSU on Saturday. 2:30 is the tip time at Coleman. Airtime on the Crimson Tide Sports Network will begin at 1:30. I'll have more in a moment.
Everwood Treatment, an Alabama-based family-owned company, has been supplying quality pressure-treated lumber for over 30 years. As the official pressure-treated lumber of Alabama Athletics, we know the real work is done before game day, so you can trust us to give your team the best chance to succeed. Visit EverwoodTreatment.com for a genuine, womanized residential outdoor dealer near you. That's EverwoodTreatment.com. Everwood Treatment, your treated wood source.
The Alabama baseball season and the Greg Goff era get underway tonight. Sewell-Thomas Stadium, Alabama playing host to Presbyterian College. Radio coverage on the network begins at 4:55. Also tonight, the 6th-ranked Alabama gymnastics team will host number 17, Auburn. The meet starts at 7:30 at Coleman Coliseum. That's your Bama update. Crimson Tide Today, brought to you by Everwood Treatment, is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network.
The thought of my sons growing up without me inspired me to quit smoking.
I talked to my doctors, and then I threw away all my cigarettes, ashtrays, and lighters.
I started exercising instead of smoking.
Staying away from alcohol when I was first quitting was key.
I kept on trying, learned something each time.
Do whatever it takes.
No matter how many times it takes.
We did it, so can you.
For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
Attention all veterans, transitioning military service members, and military spouses. Do you need to learn about transitioning from the military to civilian life? Are you seeking a new career? Would you like to meet top companies ready to hire? Do you need a resume review or want to learn about benefits and health care from VA experts? Let American Freedom Foundation, in association with still serving veterans, be your trusted resource to answer those questions at their Warriors to the Workforce Huntsville Career Hiring and Training Workshop on Tuesday, March 14th at the Von Braun Center, in conjunction with the 2017 AUSA Global Force Symposium and Exposition, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Attendance is free for veterans, transitioning military service members, and military spouses. Register now for the Warriors to the Workforce Hiring and Training Workshops on Tuesday, March 14th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Von Braun Center. Register today at warriorstotheworkforcehsv.net.
Brought to you by Hum by Verizon. Is your check engine light on? Hum by Verizon can tell you why, so you can fix small problems before they become big ones. Find out how to make your car smarter, safer, and more connected with Hum by Verizon. Visit hum.com today.
Clouds increasing tonight, the low in the upper 40s, around 48. Tomorrow, a cloudy day with a few periods of rain, the high 61. Then for Sunday and Monday, very nice weather, a good supply of sunshine both days. Afternoons very mild, the high Sunday 71, Monday's high 74. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
The Valley's home for live sports. The Ump.
Football Friday in the doghouse. Usually we try to just do one team each day. We did do the Carolina Panthers earlier, and we're going to do the Tennessee Titans now. But the Titans are different, man. We talk about the Titans all the time, and I thought it would be a great time on a Football Friday to reach out to Teresa Walker and talk a little Titans with her. She of the AP in Tennessee. T-Dub, welcome back. How are you?
Doing good. How are you, Tom?
I am fantastic. Lot of excitement about this offseason for this Titans team because of obviously the success that they had last year. And, you know, part of that excitement starts with when you look at the schedule, they have the 30th, you know, I guess the second most easiest, you tied with Jacksonville for the second easiest schedule in the NFL coming up this year. Their opponents with just a 439 winning percentage. The only problem with that is that the Indianapolis Colts have the easiest schedule with their opponents with 424 winning percentage. Now, in the NFL, it changes so much, but, you know, it does kind of set up well for the Titans for the schedule next year that, you know, this is not a real daunting schedule in terms of, you know, who they have to play outside of the division.
Well, and that's the thing. You know, the NFL released yesterday the top 10 toughest schedules around the NFL. They weren't in that group. Neither were the Patriots, by the way, just something I noticed. But, you know, here's the thing. It doesn't matter until we see, you know, that's what makes the NFL so unique, Tom. Every year is different. I mean, let's not forget, this time last year, people were like, I don't know, Titans are going to be lucky if they can match those three wins they had last year.
Right.
And all they do is go 9-7. So, you know, you just can never tell what's going to happen. So I think that's what keeps the NFL so popular.
No, there's no question about it. The Patriots came in 12th, by the way, in terms of their schedule. And, I mean, you know, part of the deal is the division that you're in. And the teams are usually, I will say this, the schedule strengths are usually kind of bunched up. That's why the Jags, Titans are tied, and the Colts have the easiest. You only have to go up to Houston is at 25 because they're all playing very similar schedules. So within their division, they're playing, Cincinnati and Pittsburgh have the same schedule, basically, same type of deal. They're at the bottom of the heap. However, when you think about who might be playing who and competing with who for wild cards and things like that, you know, who's got a tough schedule is the AFC West, and hence Denver, most difficult schedule. Kansas City, number two most difficult schedule. Oakland, the number four most difficult schedule. By the way, Miami, who was a playoff team, number six most difficult schedule. So you look at that division that, you know, could put three teams, you know, people say, well, you know, Broncos, Chiefs, Raiders, there could be three teams right there into the playoff. Well, not so fast. That division's playing a brutal schedule next year.
Well, it is. And I mean, we just don't know what all's going to happen. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, the Chargers playing in a 30,000 seat stadium. Well, sometimes, as the Titans, then Oilers in 98 can tell you, it's not that easy even to fill up a small stadium if people don't care about you in a market. So, mm-hmm. You know, and we're just assuming that things are going to be hunky-dory with a new coach there and, you know, with the new coach in Denver, you know, Simeon and Lynch. They think that's going to be their quarterback, one of those two guys. And it's amazing how much things can change in one offseason. I mean, let's think about this, Tom. You know, how surprised were people that Kubiak was, you know, retiring? That caught a lot of people off guard. So schedule strength is just one measure of what goes into, you know, affecting a season.
Yeah. All right, the Titans have a lot of money under the salary cap. They got like $70 million there. They have some attractive draft positions and so on. How active do you think this team will be in the free agent market, especially, you know, with the need at receiver and a guy like Alshon Jeffrey bumping around out there? It's going to be a big dollar receiver. But what do you think about them being very active in this free agent market?
Well, they're going to be active because they've got 18 guys, the last time I checked, that are hitting free agency coming off of their roster. So, you know, do they keep a Rashad Johnson? How many of their own people? You know, Carl Kluge's coming off an injury, but they really liked him before he got hurt. Is that a guy mm-hmm. that they, you know, go ahead and bring back and wait for him to heal up? So they have to bring back some of their own people. But, you know, let's face it. What we have just a very short list to go on with John Robinson. You know, he did a mix last year in his first year. You know, he made the big trade with the Eagles to get DeMarco Murray. But quietly on the free, you know, he was very quiet on the free agents market. You know, signed Rashard Matthews. That was a deal that was kind of like, well, didn't do a lot in Miami. Let's wait and see what he does with Mariota. He ends up, you know, tied for the most catches on the team. So that turned out very, very well. Maybe his numbers are even better if he hadn't started the season splitting time with Andre Johnson. So, and then Rashard Johnson was a guy who was signed to a one-year deal. I think this offseason will show us a little bit more of John Robinson as a GM. And you mentioned they've got all that money, but I just don't expect them to go crazy on the free agent market for this reason, Tom. Taylor Lewan's going into his fourth year. Some of this young talent that has been drafted in the last 2, 3, 4 years, you're going to want to start keeping some of those guys. They have a decision on Jason McCourty. Somebody was asking me the other day, should they cut him to save money? It's like, when I looked at SportRack.com the other day, they had him fourth in the NFL with over $67 million in projected cap space. They don't need the money. It's not like they're scrunching for nickels under the couch cushions. Right. And so right now they can sit back in a power of strength, two first round picks, and they can be buyers, but they don't have to go, you know, they don't have to go overpay for somebody that they don't need to or don't want.
It wasn't a John Robinson pick, but it was a first-round draft pick, only 25 years old, Chance Warmack. Is that ship definitely sailed, or do you think do they talk about him or to him at all in terms of maybe bringing him back, or have they moved on?
Feels like they moved on, Tom. When they, when Mike Mularkey said that they thought he could, you know, probably could have played with the hand injury rather than having surgery, it kind of felt like Chance saw the writing on the wall and, Now, that said, it's the NFL. You make a good enough offer, and, you know, money salves a lot of wounds and hurt pride and misunderstandings. Mm-hmm. But it just feels like, considering that they didn't have any drop-off when Josh Klein stepped in for Chance, just feels like they can probably go cheaper at right guard and spend some money elsewhere.
Yeah, and then another guy that was a very high pick, I think, was he Brian Schwenke. So we'd have to probably say the same thing about Schwenke.
Well, the thing with Schwenke is you think you could get him a little less because, let's face it, he didn't earn a starting job in that line coming out of this offseason. But because, you know, he can play center and guard, that makes him valuable as a backup. Now, the question is, does somebody else see him as a starter for them and, you know, outbid the Titans? That's where the danger is. You know, they still have to have depth on the offensive line. Anyone who's watched this team for the last 3-4 years, you know, Ken Wisenhunt's first year, we all remember in 2014, they played 7 different tackles that year. You have to have quality backups, and he knows the system. So unless somebody comes in and throws a crazy deal at Brian Schwenke, you would think that they would have a chance at making an offer that brings him back for at least a year or two.
Yeah, Teresa Walker with us from the AP in Tennessee. We're talking some Titans here. Matt Castle, I mean, you know, they paid him $2 million. He jumped in there and had to play at the end due to the injury to Marcus Mariota. Mariota has not had a history yet of for sure being healthy for the entire 16 games. A lot of people talk about whether or not Matt Castle at age 34 will be brought back. I say why not? I'm a Matt Castle guy. I think he's, you know, I would assume that he's great in the meeting room. He seems to be a guy that's well-liked by other guys. He's an experienced guy. Do you think they keep Matt Castle in there as that backup?
Well, you would think that his experience with the Patriots and, therefore, John Robinson certainly would seem to maybe pull on his side of the scale. The question is, how much do they like Alex Tanny? They liked him enough to, you know, make it worth his while to stay with them in Tennessee on the practice squad when he had a chance to go play on the active roster for the Cleveland Browns. So, you know, do they like him enough that they think he can be the number two this year? That's a question we're going to have to wait and see just how much interest is there on the side of the Titans. Got to think that, you know, it was a good deal for Matt Castle. You know, he's backing up Mariota. He starts the final game of the season, comes off the bench. And, you know, that's the thing. You mentioned the injuries. First year, we knew what the problem was. It was the offensive line. They just couldn't protect him. This last injury, you know, he got caught. A guy falls on his leg and, you know, kind of a freak accident with the broken leg, you know, the same day that Derek Carr broke his, same injury. So just a little bit of a fluke there. But, you know, it's the NFL. You have to have somebody that when called on can go in and start a game and put you in good position to win. So that, you would think that lays heavily in Matt Castle's favor as well.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that as well. Now, do you think they kicked the tires on Victor Cruz at all? Have you heard anything about them bringing him to take a little look-see there? Because they've not had good experience in the past bringing guys in like that, but Cruz is still relatively young. You know, he just felt, you know, he had 2 great years to start his career and just kind of fell off the map.
Well, not yet. And I don't think, you know, you can scratch everybody off the list just because they haven't gotten started. You know, combine's in a week and a half. And, you know, so I think that maybe they're kind of gearing up for that while looking at some of these guys. Yeah, based on what they did with Rishard Matthews, that was a guy coming, you know, getting his second contract in the NFL. And a guy who, you know, hadn't played much, but injuries weren't quite the issue with him. Cruz has had some injuries that might make it easier to just kind of steer away from him and wait and see. You know, I'm curious to see how many teams do jump on Victor Cruz, or, you know, does he have to wait maybe into March or late March to sign with a team?
Yeah. Teresa Walker with us. All right, to the draft, the Titans 2 picks in the first round. Do not have a second round pick, correct?
Correct. And that's the thing. With 2 first round picks and I think 3 in the third, how much is John Robinson going to be motivated to just simply take 2 guys at 5 and 18 that you can say, okay, I've got 2 starters that I can plug in that should be able to start with the beginning of this season? Or do you get tempted to slide down a little bit, try and get into the second round? Cornerback is an area of need. We absolutely know that. And thankfully, that's a position that's deep enough that you could get one in the second round if you've got a pick in the second round. So trust me, I can't wait to see just what John Robinson does. But, John, based on what he did last year, got to think there's going to be some movement coming.
You know, if they do stay in the spot, I have seen so many different names attached to the Titans in all the different mock drafts, and a lot of them have them taking defense first. They haven't taken the safety out of LSU. You see a lot of corners that show up on that board there. Sometimes you see a receiver. Sometimes you see a receiver with that 12 hole. I'm seeing one from NFL Network where Daniel Jeremiah has them taking John Ross, the wide receiver out of Washington, with the second pick at 18. But at the first pick at 5 has them taking Reuben Foster at linebacker, an inside linebacker. You know, seems like he'd be a perfect fit in the Titans system. We know they like Alabama guys over there. Could you see them taking a guy like Foster, or does that not really seem to be as much a point of need as a corner or a safety?
Well, it doesn't feel like it is. It does feel – could they use a linebacker? Sure. You know, is Wesley Woodyard going to survive that much longer? And, you know, they've gotten an awful lot out of him. For a guy that, let's face it, under Wisenhunt, he was kind of getting lost in the shuffle a little bit, and Mularkey takes over, and he just shows what we can do. Well, you would think that that's a position you could definitely benefit from, but, you know, let's face it, the offense could use a speedy guy. You give a speedster to that offense, and it goes mm-hmm. from being one of the best to maybe being top five in the NFL for the whole season. And then, you know, secondary, we can all look that as good as that front seven is, they've got to do better on the back end so that quarterbacks can just quit shredding them. So I like the idea of linebacker. Shoot, I could see Zach Cunningham with the second pick in the first round fitting into that unit a little bit maybe. Mm. But yeah, I think we're going to have to wait and see. It still feels like, Tom, that receiver, cornerback, safety are the two biggest needs for this team to off the bat.
Well, speaking of safety, and I have not seen this name this high, Bucky Brooks, though, says at the number 5 pick in the first round, Jabril Peppers. And he says, remember how Dick LeBeau used to use Troy Polamalu in Pittsburgh at the line of scrimmage and also as a safety? You wonder about Jabril Peppers. He has him taking Marlon Humphrey out of Alabama with the 18 pick. So, boy, that would shore up that defensive backfield in a hurry if you got Jabril Peppers and Marlon Humphrey in the first round.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, I can see that addressing the defense. There was a lot of attention given to offense last year, you know, at least in free agency with Ben Jones and then with the first pick of the draft and Jack Conklin. So you go and do that. We've seen that they've been able to get, you know, shoot, Tajay Sharp, first pick of the 5th round. So, and they got a starter at the first pick of the 3rd round. So, you know, you would think John Robinson feels very confident being able to find people later in the draft if he needs to. And, you know, let's face it, you know, nobody was blown away last year. That, you know, as much as they like guys like, you know, Sean Sims and a couple of those young kids that were drafted last year, the one thing we've got to see them get better there. You know, that's maybe the lasting memory. If you're thinking defense, you're probably thinking quarterbacks throwing the ball down the field at wheel. I mean, shoot, look at what, you know, was done to them in the Chicago game. They got lucky to pull that game out at the end just because, you know, Barkley is just running the Bears up and down the field on that secondary. So that would be a very good move, too. That's what's so fun this time of year, Tom, isn't it? We can mm-hmm. put just about anybody into some of these picks and make a great argument that they fit.
Well, the good thing, the fun part about it this year for the Titans, it used to be last year and in the last couple of years, it was like anybody, just anybody. Now you can look at a 9-7 team that just missed the playoffs and say, well, this place, that place. And it's funny that every mock I'm looking at has them taking an Alabama player, but it's a different Alabama. There's some connection there. I know they had, you know, success with the Derrick Henry pick and maybe missed on the Chance Warmack pick, but they seem to have some kind of connection to Alabama, because here's another one that has them taking O.J. Howard at 18, which is an Adonis as a, you know, as a tight end. And Delanie Walker, a superstar, but not getting any younger at 32 or 33 years old next season. You know, that's another interesting pick. A guy like O.J. Howard with that second pick in the first round.
I've heard a lot of arguments to add a tight end to that offense, especially mm-hmm. as much as Mike Mularkey, a former tight end, likes to use two tight ends. But And that would absolutely work. You give that option to the offense, that's going to spread the offense out a little bit more and give DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry an Alabama guy. And, oh, yeah, that fullback, Jahlstin Fowler, another Alabama guy.
Right.
Yeah, the tight influence is being felt in the city of Nashville on that Titans team right now, Tom.
No question
and
about
it.
It
would fit, but, yeah. You know, and that's the beauty. The best thing about this for the Titans, there are fewer holes that they have to fill this year. You know, a year ago, we're like, well, they need a tackle, they need this, they need a guard, they need a center, you know, they need it was a laundry list. Now, it's like he can go to the gourmet store or the gourmet section of the grocery store, Tom, because he just needs a few things, you know, but at this point, quality items, the high-priced items, the guys that, you know, because I'll make this point, Tom, if they do what they think they can do, and a lot of people believe they should do this next season, they shouldn't be picking in the top 10 for quite a while, or even the top 15. For maybe 5 years, if they do this right.
Unless they make some more good draft picks, I mean, or trades, you know what I mean? If you get some good,
exactly.
Get those trades. Not by their own play. Teresa Walker has been our guest. T-Dub, I appreciate you so much.
Thank you so much, Tom.
All right, let's get a break in here. We'll come back and we'll have more right after this. It's the Tom Abraham Show. 730-1039. The
Ump. Sports Radio. 730-1039. The Ump. The Ump.
This is Jim Rome with the CBS Sports Minute. Nice to see LA Clippers star Chris Paul getting back to the NBA All-Star game this weekend. Or it would be had he not enlisted the services of one Bieber to get him there. As part of the fan vote, CP3 got Biebs to tweet at his near 92 million followers that they should vote for him. And it worked. Of his 735,000 votes, 367,000 of them came from Beliebers. So Chris Paul is once again an NBA All-Star, but this time it's because of Biebs' army of eggs. And honestly, that's embarrassing. Not the fact that the Beliebers got him in, but the fact that they failed to get him in as a starter. Biebs is the second most followed person on Twitter. That's a near 92 million person reach, and he's still going to be on the pine when the ball goes up. I'm Jim Rome.
The U.S. economy has been getting stronger, and home values have been increasing. This good economic news presents a unique financial opportunity for you. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. Many of our clients have been taking cash out of their homes. A strategy that might work for you. The smart move is to refinance your mortgage right now with Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.18%, APR 4.35%. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN to see how much we can lower your mortgage payment. For 7 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the third year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. Call 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Visit jdpower.com for award information. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS. ConsumerAccess.org. Number 3030.
Weeks in the
March Madness. It's a time when the best of the best come out to play. And you can experience that same level of performance at your local Infiniti retailer. Starting with the turbocharged Infiniti Q50 sedan. With impressive technology like available predictive forward collision warning and direct adaptive steering. And the Infiniti QX60 crossover is definitely up for the challenge. Easily seating 7, so you can bring the whole team. Or experience true power in the full-size Infiniti QX80 with its V8 engine and luxurious interior. It's that time of year again. Time for the best of the best. Visit Smith Infiniti of Huntsville today and lease the Q50 for $339 a month for 39 months. $24.99 initial payment, tax, title, license, and options extra. Call 1-800-862-0406 for details. Offer ends 2/28/17. Infiniti is an official partner of NCAA men's basketball. NCAA and March Madness are registered trademarks of the National Collegiate Athletic Association. Infiniti. Empower the drive.
Looking for a way to get involved in the community? Big Brothers Big Sisters of North Alabama has a new office in Athens and is looking for those interested in becoming a big, wanting to be a little, or simply desiring to assist the organization through donations or partnerships. Each year, Big Brothers Big Sisters works to pair children ages 5 to 13 with mentors in an effort to enrich their lives. In order to support these, your support is needed. To be a part of Big Brothers Big Sisters, stop by the new office in the Family Resources Center at 406 South Jefferson Street in Athens. Call 256-880-2123 or on the web at bbbsna.org. Becoming a Big Brother or Big Sister makes a tremendous impact on the lives of children throughout the Tennessee Valley. And with the addition of the new office in Athens, your impact reaches even further. It's never too late to start something and make a difference in someone's life.
Facebook, where liking turns to love real quick. See the love on our page. Search Ump Sports.
Smokey, what is this day without immigrants thing that's been going on? God bless it almighty. You're talking
about that crap that happened yesterday?
Well, yeah, apparently. I mean, you know, I'm looking at the Tennessee, and businesses across Middle Tennessee closed. Many students skipped school Thursday in support of a nationwide protest. Restaurants, markets, construction companies, and beauty salons were among the dozens of Nashville area businesses that planned to shutter for the Day Without Immigrants, a one-day social media-led protest intended to demonstrate the widespread. Is that why the, maybe that's why the teachers and kids didn't show up for school yesterday. Maybe that's what happened. Maybe they weren't sick. Idiots. How about a day without illegal immigrants? God, why do they just keep saying it's immigrants? Oh, I am an immigrant. I came here 34 years ago. I've done a lot of work, said Mahar Fawaz, owner of 12 South Restaurant. And I don't know. Are you illegal? That's all I want to know. That's all I care is, are you illegal? You got papers? That's all I want to know.
Our boy Buckethead had a little bit of a problem on his construction site yesterday, though.
Wow, what happened on his side?
There's a lot of people that went out and protested. That worked for him.
I became a... Oh, okay. So this guy here, Fawaz, right? He said, I think this country is built on immigrants. I became a citizen in 1986, and I never looked back. I spent more time here than I spent in my native country of Lebanon. Close quote. Okay. That's where the name Abraham comes from. My paternal grandfather was American-born. His mother was Lebanese, and that's where they came. You know, his mother and his father, they were Lebanese. That's where the name came from, Abraham. Nobody has a problem with this guy. What are they protesting? How are we protesting a guy who became a citizen in 1986, a legal immigrant who became a citizen in 1986? What? This is why this is so construed. This is what I don't understand. It's illegal immigrants that there's a problem with. Illegal immigrants. Jeez. You know that's where the slang WAP came for with Italians, right, Smokey?
Yeah, actually, I did know that.
Yeah, without papers. That's where that slang WAP came from. But I don't know where Dago came from. I'm not sure. I'm one of them, so I can say that. I'm just saying. It's mind-boggling to me. And people just use it, just like college students who protest on campuses, they just use it to, you know, get a day off or to get, you know, they protest stuff they don't even know what they're protesting half the time. It's amazing. Immigration, day without immigrants. How about a day without illegal immigrants? Unbelievable. All right, coming up in a five. As always, the phone lines are open for the first segment. You go ahead and jump in if you want to jump in. By the way, I know strength of schedule ratings. One of the crazy things is in the AFC East. You look at the AFC East, the Bills are at number 5. The Dolphins are at 6. The Jets are at 8. And the Patriots have the easiest schedule in the East at 12. You say, how can that be? Well, I'll tell you how it can be. It's because the Patriots get to play the Dolphins, Bills, and Jets. And the Dolphins, Bills, and Jets have to play the Patriots. Patriots don't play the Patriots. It's math, people! All right, we'll be back. Tom Abraham Show, 730-1039, The Ump.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039, The Ump.
Lawler's Barbecue is celebrating their 39th birthday through the end of February. With 10 locations to serve you, there's always something delicious right around the corner. Come in today for our succulent ribs or rib plates. Or how about our slow-cooked pork? Get a lunch bag to go. Or our famous pork plates. And everyone loves the stuffed potatoes at Lawler's Barbecue. Celebrate the 39th birthday of Lawler's Barbecue through the end of February. And we love saving you money. So this Friday morning at 9, get your $50 gift certificate for $25 for the sweet deal of the week. The half-price sweet deal never tasted so good. This Friday morning at 9, log on and click on the sweet deal. A $50 gift certificate to Lawler's Barbecue for $25. Delicious ribs and rib plates, slow-cooked pork, and those famous stuffed potatoes. It's the 39th anniversary of Lawler's Barbecue. Log on to umpsports.com. Madison RV Supercenter is having their annual RV show and sale February 13th through the 18th with interest rates way down and discounts way up. Now is the perfect time to choose your new RV. With the largest selection of latest models in the area, there's no need to go anywhere else but Madison RV Supercenter. Free parking, free admission, free food. Madison RV Supercenter is the only place to get your new RV, and the annual RV show and sale is the right time to buy. Don't miss this event. Madison RV Supercenter annual RV show and sale.
I'm Nick Sobel, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-350-8989. That's 1-800-350-8989. 1-800-350-8989. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Get to JCPenney's President's Day sale and save up to 30% on select major appliances. Plus, get 30-month special financing on purchases of $7.99 or more with your JCPenney credit card. Plus, get free delivery and basic installation on appliance purchases over $2.99. Save on major appliances now at JCPenney's President's Day sale. That's getting your pennies worth. JCPenney. GE, GE Profile, and GE Cafe limited to 10% off savings. Subject to credit approval. Must request at time of purchase. See store associate for details. Available in select stores. Financing terms valid 2/8 to 2/20.
Well, it was bound to happen. Football season will come to an end, but what that means is spring football is right around the corner, and so is the spring season. Now is the time to treat your vehicle to the ultimate in-service care at Woody Anderson Ford. You'll be stunned at the beautiful new service lanes, and you're going to want to leave yourself some extra time to have breakfast or lunch at Henry's Mustang Cafe. In fact, head to the Mustang Cafe any day, and while you're there, check out the new 2017 Fords. Woody Anderson Ford at Sparkman and Jordan Lane.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school or even let alone go to college, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, studied hard, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone. I feel like if I didn't have anyone to push me, I wouldn't even bother to do it. I got one milestone down the drain, and now I got to work on the next. I see the future is really bright for me. I feel like it doesn't matter the age, as long as you go back and get it done. The high school diploma is just added to the confidence, and now I feel unstoppable.
No one gets a diploma alone. You have more support than you realize. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Premature birth is the number one killer of babies. Those who survive often face birth defects and complications that affect them for life. For hundreds of thousands of families in the United States, this is the hardest thing they will ever have to face. And it's even harder on the baby. March of Dimes is providing education and support to families and funding life-saving research to give every baby a fighting chance. You can help. Do something today. Give them tomorrow at marchofdimes.org/tomorrow.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The UMP. WUMP Madison. W28 OBA Madison Huntsville. A Cumulus station. It's time for the...